Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 11. Jatapart instructs King Rahugana. Text 11. Dravya swabhava shaya karma kala. Ekadashami manaso vikara.
Ekadashami manaso vikara.
Sahasrasa shatasa koti shascha.
Sahasrasa shatasa koti shascha.
Chetragyato na mito na swatasyu.
Chetragyato na mito na swatasyu.
Dravya swabhava shaya karma kalai.
Dravya swabhava shaya karma kalai.
Ekadashami manaso vikara.
Ekadashami manaso vikara.
Sahasrasa shatasa koti shascha. Chetragyato na mito na swatasyu.
Chetragyato na mito na swatasyu.
Dravya swabhava shaya karma kalai.
Dravya swabhava shaya karma kalai.
Ekadashami manaso vikara.
Ekadashami manaso vikara.
Sahasrasa shatasa koti shascha.
Sahasrasa shatasa koti.
Chetragyato na mito na swatasyu.
Yeah.
Predestined resultant actions. Kalai, by time. Ekadasha, 11. Ami, all these. Mansa, of the mind. Vikara, transformations. Sahasrasha, in thousands. Shatasha, in hundreds. Kodisha, and in millions. Tejagata, from the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not. Mita, one another. Na, or. Swata, from themselves. Su, are. Translation: the physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. But all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. Purport. One should not think that all the interactions of the physical elements, gross and subtle, that cause the transformation of mind and consciousness are working independently. They are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham hriti sannivishto mata smitya gyanam abhohanam cha. As mentioned herein, Supersoul, Chaitrigya, is directing everything. The living entity is also Chaitrigya, but the Supreme Chaitrigya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the witness and order giver. Under his direction, everything takes place. The different inclinations of a living entity are created by his own nature or his expectations. And he is trained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. The body, nature, and the physical elements are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not function automatically. Nature is neither independent nor automatic. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind nature. Maya jakshena prakriti suyatech sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat vipadi vartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti. And it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Translation again. The physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. But all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. Rather, they are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. Om Aganachimadandasyaganjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jug Bhart is giving additional commentary to King Rahugana, who couldn't capture everything that Jug Bhart was delivering. And so, step by step, Jug Bhart is elaborating, amplifying, explicating. Material existence, on the one hand, is a very complicated place. As the verse is telling us, the 11 functions, the sense objects, the knowledge acquiring senses, false ego, these 11 are hard enough for us to grasp. But these 11 with their functions then multiply into hundreds of functions, thousands and into millions. In this way, we're baffled by material existence. And any honest person, any humble person, or someone with just a little bit of humility can admit that material existence is puzzling, it's baffling. What makes it seem simple and clear-cut is the illusion that we're going to achieve satisfying goals. Expectations, and this purport talks about that. The different inclinations of the living entity are created by his own nature or his expectations. Material existence is all about hope. As Krishna says in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Asha Pasha Shatar Bada. Bound up by a network of false hopes. This is the story of our life. If you want to write your autobiography prior to taking up the bhakti lifestyle, you know that your lifestyle was one of hopes that are false. Now you might say, well, why are the hopes false? I've got some things I wanted in life. Look at my home, look at my children, look at my spouse, look at my job. For the moment, look at my health. For the moment, look at my beauty. So it seems things are working out. But what we have to distinguish is between having things, having even what you want, or what you think you want, and being satisfied by it all. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam points out, and Bhagavad Gita point out, hope against hope. In terms of material existence, false hopes, bound by a network of false hopes. Rarely do you get what you want, just like with this body. Because we're spirit soul, we have this desire not to be curtailed, restricted by the body. Our sense of eternality is there, which is real. But the false thing is that we, consciously or unconsciously, are expressing our sense of eternality through the body. And therefore, when the body fails us, leaves us, we're devastated. The spirit soul is trapped in a material body and expressing its eternality. In fact, it's expressing its nature of Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It's expressing that through a material body, and therefore, there are so many problems. So you must wonder, why is it that I would like to just go on and on? I don't want to be terminated. I don't want to be debilitated. We're pleasure-seeking. That you have to confront. Admit to yourself that you are a pleasure-seeking unit. And the bhakti text, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, completely accept that. Yes, that is your original nature. But there's a huge problem that you've taken on unnecessarily. That huge problem is that you're expecting to find your pleasure, your enjoyment, your happiness, your satisfaction via the material body and mind. So this is what we're wrestling with. This is the central dynamic of our daily, weekly, and monthly, and yearly struggles, it seems, in bhakti. We want satisfaction. That is the nature of the spirit soul, to be satisfied in service to Krishna. A satisfaction so incalculable that Krishna himself wants to taste what it's like to be his own servant. So that is our original constitutional nature. But due to mistaken vision and due to envy, we are trying to accomplish the Satchidananda program in the material body, in the material world, separate from Krishna's pleasure. So we have to make peace with this enjoying spirit. We can't stamp it out because it's the nature of the spirit soul. The question will be, how do we apply this enjoying spirit? Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission of congregational hearing and chanting about Krishna is all about Krishna's happiness. As one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam explains to us, a real devotee of Krishna has no way of sensing happiness except via the happiness of Krishna. So this is our big struggle, to accept that we are just indirect enjoyers. That's all we're capable of. And everything in society is pushing you in the opposite direction. You are the enjoyer. Get some enjoyment for you. Everyone else is doing it. This is the way to go. Oh, there's so much pressure on you. Your mind and senses are being bombarded at every opportunity. You can't get any peace. And so such a contamination goes deep into your heart and makes the heart increasingly dirty. We have enough problems with the dirt we're bringing in from previous lifetimes. Now we live in a society that is constantly amplifying the illusion. You can be happy. Others are happy. You can be satisfied. It is possible. You owe it to yourself. If not owing it to yourself, at least you should know you owe it to your family members. Train them to get all the enjoyment they can. And then you'll also be happy that way. So you feel such a burden. Such pressure. All because we have misplaced our pleasure-seeking capacity. And therefore, our false ego just expands, as the previous verse explained. Besides this, there's another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function, that of the mind, is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function. And its field of activity is the body. So these little differences and nuances are there in the Sankhya analysis. Sankhya yoga means to analyze material existence into its various components and get to the root of it. So there are different ways you can look at the puzzle of material existence, different emphases, different facets. But the bottom line is the same, of course. The root of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those of you who have studied Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita should know that there is no difference between the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings of Lord Krishna, and the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. So you know about Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. Krishna says, surrender to me, sarva dharmam prachaja, mamekam sharanam. And Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach the science of Krishna. It's the same thing. He's telling you to surrender to Krishna in the way, in the methodology that's most effective in this day and age of darkness. Spread the glories of Krishna. That is surrender. Now what about Lord Kapiladeva, who explained true knowledge of Sankhya to his mother, Devahuti? Lord Kapiladeva analyzed the components of material existence, 25 or so components, you'll find in the third canto. The whole point of Sankhya Yoga is to develop to the point where you get past all the material elements, the material components, and you can get to the root, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches the same thing as Lord Kapiladeva? Harinam, 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 okay. By chanting Hare Krishna, you get the goal of Sankhya. So in that way, Mahaprabhu is teaching the same as what Kapiladeva taught. Mahaprabhu is taking you to the end of the Sankhya Yoga process. By chanting Hare Krishna, you'll understand Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, how everything is simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Kapiladeva presents that analysis. Lord Kapiladeva is presenting the conclusion of the yoga system. As you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yogi Namapi Sarvesham Madgatenam Taram. Of all the different types of yogis, the highest is the one who is always absorbed in my service. So Lord Chaitanya says, all right, we give that immediately the chance to be absorbed in thinking of Krishna and his service, glorifying him. We give that straight away. So in that way, again, Lord Kapiladeva and Lord Chaitanya are identical. Look at the end result. Similarly, when Krishna says, surrender to me, Lord Chaitanya is giving that opportunity. Never mind you have to worry about coming to the Brahmabhuta platform. Never mind you have to worry about immediately stopping all your material desires and aversions to distress. Don't worry immediately about seeing all living entities as equal. Take Krishna right now. So in that way, Lord Chaitanya's teachings and Lord Krishna's teachings are the same. And Lord Chaitanya's teachings and the teachings of Lord Kapiladeva are the same. We may forget this because it seems all we're doing is chanting and dancing. I was watching everyone dancing this morning. You might think, this is self-realization. Now, you won't say that because you're good devotees, but in the back of your mind, you could have some slackness, some hesitation, or some disbelief. Well, it can't really just be that. It must be something more. But look at the example that Lord Chaitanya set in Jagannath Puri. During the daytime, he would do Harinam Sankirtan in the Jagannath temple in Puri. And at night, with his intimate associates, he would be hearing and chanting about the deepest topics of Krishna Katha. He's showing you this is the way to go. This is the way to real success in the age of Kali. So, we may sometimes take it for granted, this whole process. Chanting, dancing, hearing about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. The material world seems so important, doesn't it? responsibilities, achievements, stature, respect. You've got to impress someone.
Isn't it amazing? You looked at your life.
There's always someone you have to impress. If not your own spouse, you've got to impress your relatives back in India. Or you've got to impress your boss at work. Always have someone to impress. And that necessity to impress someone's, can take up a huge proportion in your life. And it can seem to be the most important thing. I've got to impress. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya's emphasis on chanting, dancing, hearing about Krishna can seem to occupy the back seat in the car. Not even a full seat, maybe, you know, one of those baby seats. We want to keep Krishna contained. We don't want too much Krishna breaking out in our life, right? Because then we'll lose our material motivation, and who knows, there'll be family problems that Krishna can't solve. And of course, you can't say that out loud, but there's this fear when we have our retreats, especially aimed at young persons who just come from India and are studying in Australia and so on. When we had those retreats, we would deal with the fear of too much Krishna. I'll lose my competitive edge. I'll lose my whole focus. Somehow or other, immediately, whether I'm male or female, I'll be wearing saffron. There's this fear that Krishna will swallow up your life. Whereas Lord Chaitanya is telling us, the more you allow devotional service to swallow up your life, the more fortunate you are, the more wealthy you are. We want to drown in the ocean of devotional service. That means with intelligence. It doesn't mean you are foolish and whimsical. No. The genuine servitor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expert, knows how to maneuver through the material world by keeping Krishna foremost in the life. It doesn't mean you neglect your body, you neglect your family situation, but your vision is always on the number one goal, and let everything else follow. So this is the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Otherwise, material existence is so complicated. When you read about these things, whether in the third canto, the fifth canto, the 11th canto, okay, the physical elements, yeah. Nature, swabhava, meaning my particular inclinations, the original cause, material cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Oh, how am I going to understand all this? I'm just trying to work, trying to keep the family together and happy, and I've got to understand all these things. All right, I took the Bhakti Shastri course, but that was years ago. You don't expect me to remember all what I studied, do you? Okay, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, then into millions. I think I just will go to work and pay the bills. Keep it simple. But what Jud Bard is explaining is that all these transformations do not take place automatically by mutual combination. They're all under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mahaprabhu is giving you that conclusion straight away. Chant Hare Krishna and you'll see that everything is under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
At the same time, the Bhagavatam knowledge is there to give us association with Krishna through its pages and to inform us with transcendental knowledge, non-material knowledge that enters into the core of our being and shapes our lifestyle. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly is part of Lord Chaitanya's program. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you are not simply acquiring information, you are associating directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let us meditate on the unparalleled contribution of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Take the conclusion straight away of Samkhya Yoga. Take the conclusion straight away of this yoga, that yoga, whatever, Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, whatever you want to call it. Take the conclusion now. And yet we're so fallen, what do we say? Oh, I'm too busy. Later in life. So this is our great misfortune. Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're especially talking about these chapters where Jud Bard is dialoguing with Rahugana Maharaj, helps you to understand what the problem is. Due to my false ego, I'm trying to be an independent enjoyer. And I can see my mistake just by my conceptualizing material enjoyment. I'm mistaken. Because to conceptualize material enjoyment means to think of myself as the independent enjoyer separate from Krishna. So why do I have this faulty mechanism? Where did this fault start? It started by thinking, somewhere or other, why should Krishna have all the independent enjoyment? Let me try. And then we get into all kinds of material complications. Just like you see that sometimes the children, maybe none of the children who are here now, they're well behaved right at the moment. But certainly they have their moments, right, kids? You have your rebellion. I want. You still do that? Huh? And the mother saying, no. It's not good for you. Or just wait. Or just calm down. No, I want. You guys do that? The ones behind? He's just shaking his head. No. He's saying, yes. And it seems so natural to them, right? Why are the adults making a big deal out of this? I want. It's plain. It's clear. Of course, the adults do the same thing in their way. When you all want to do something, speaking in terms of your material conception, an execution of that conception, when you want to do something, you just want to do it. Someone gets in your way, you get angry. You expect that the various components of your life will contribute to your fulfillment. If not directly to your fulfillment, then to the fulfillment of those who are your expansions. Everything in life has to happen in that way. So where is Krishna? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point. The only way you're going to find Krishna, the ultimate goal of yoga and meditation, is through congregational chanting, hearing, glorification, chanting Hare Krishna. You're not going to find the conclusion any other way in the dense darkness of the age of Kali. The whole system of material nature is too overwhelming. It's so complicated. So why not go right to the conclusion? Everything is under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is not just idle or blind religious belief. You're getting the information, you're getting the knowledge. But factually speaking, even though the knowledge is right there in front of you, the only way you can understand it and assimilate it is by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this is the age of Kali, in case you haven't noticed. The darkness is so dense. So this darkness is what makes bhakti seem difficult, because the atmosphere is saturated with this spirit of independent enjoyment, which makes life so complicated, but we don't care because we have our false hopes. So how are we going to transform our hopes? That's why we have the hearing and chanting process. That's why we have opportunities to engage in Krishna's service. In this way, our hopes become corrected, and we start hoping for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's service, for Krishna's satisfaction. Then we are becoming sane. So in the course of our bhakti progress, you have to be a bit tolerant, because you're carrying with you a material mind. And that material mind is the storehouse of impressions and inclinations from countless births. So if you're going to go the distance in bhakti, you have to learn how to tolerate yourself a bit. You have to make peace with the fact that we made mistakes and we're carrying burdens from countless lifetimes. But we have the chance to correct the mistake and become relieved of all these unnecessary burdens in our mind and body. So yes, this is why Rupa Goswami explains in Sri Upadeshamrita, Utsaha Nishtaya Daryat, enthusiasm, patience, and determination. You have to be patient because you're dealing with so much debris that has been accumulated over countless lifetimes. And it harasses you sometimes. Just like you're walking down the street and there's pollution in the air, the exhaust fumes or something. You know, I just got to tolerate that. I've got to carry out my affairs. I've got to keep going. Or you're trying to drive somewhere and you're stuck in a traffic jam. You tolerate it. This is part of living in the city. So similarly, we need to learn to tolerate our material baggage. As this verse says, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. This process needs to be tolerated. But we're not just clenching our teeth. Tolerate. We are engaging in Krishna's service. By engaging in Krishna's service, that gives us the ability to tolerate. Otherwise, pure material tolerance in of itself will not suffice. So don't be overwhelmed reading this information. Even King Rahugana, who is far superior than human beings today, he felt overwhelmed by what Jabbard was saying. He's going to ask for clarification. And Jabbard is going to, step by step, level by level, take him deeper and deeper for the sake of Maharaj Rahugana's enlightenment. So today we want you to remember how Lord Chaitanya is giving what is identical to the gifts of Lord Kapiladeva, what to speak of the gifts of Lord Krishna. This is what makes Lord Chaitanya so fascinating. When you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get it all. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva sar. Bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva are. You're getting all the scientific truths about Krishna, about bhakti, the loving service of Krishna, about praying, the ultimate state, love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna. Bhava tattva, you're getting the scientific knowledge of transcendental emotions. Lila tattva, the scientific presentation of Krishna's pastime. It's all there. Coming to you through hearing and chanting about Krishna as you distribute Krishna to others. Because the distribution, the cultivation, the outreach is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, telling you to surrender by doing this. Lord Kapildev wants you to be the perfect yogi who understands all the components of material existence and their root. The Lord Chaitanya says, all right, take the root straight away. And our response is, oh, we're so busy. We have so many huge areas of our life that require immediate attention. As stated in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no greater mistake you can make in life than to consider something else a higher priority than your own spiritual development. There's no greater mistake in life. So please, make sure you don't commit such a mistake. By chanting Hare Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada explained, you'll see everything in material existence as diverse extensions of the Lord's energies. You'll get to the root. Your vision will change. You're not going to see things in the same way when you seriously chant Hare Krishna every day. You'll see everything related to Krishna and his service. So let us go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hey Rama, Hey Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. Any questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, for the class. You quoted one of the lines from the Purport that the devotee has no sense of experiencing happiness other than happiness of Krishna.
That's a real devotee, yes.
So while we aspire to be the real devotees, how do we, in our daily activities, or also in our service engagements, we have like choices of different services that we can do. So how do we know what would make Krishna most happy?
In terms of today, should I do this or should I do that? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, today, and also sometimes choices that will have more longer lasting impact in our...
Well, that's why we have a spiritual master, we have the sadhus, and we have the Shastra. Bhakti is a guidance phenomenon. The more you see bhakti in that way, the more you're actually seeing accurately. The more opportunities for guidance we have, and the more we take advantage of those opportunities, the more wealthy we are. So, if it's a day-to-day affair, we can discuss with our fellow devotees, discuss with your seniors. Some crucial change in your life, you can discuss with your spiritual master, and the Shastra is there to inform you. The main thing is to be sincere. You think Krishna's going to penalize you if you try to be sincere?
You were trying to be sincere, but you made the wrong choice. Now I slam you.
Sincerity is everything. You come before the deities and pray, what is the best for your pleasure? Do you think that you're just going through some religious motions, like coming in from work and putting $5 in the hundi or something? No, this is very personal. Of course, anything offered to Krishna, whether it's $5 or $1 million, is also personal. But the person doing that may not understand that he or she is rendering personal devotional service. But your question is about someone who understands. You want to please Krishna's senses. So yes, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains about the devotees in Vrindavan. They have no way of sensing pleasure except by the pleasure of Krishna. They're the perfection of indirect enjoyers. So you come before the deities. They're waiting for you. And you say, I'm Dvija Pitambara Das, servant of the servant of the servant. What is the best way to please you? I could do this, or I could do that. Please give me insight so I can see. Sometimes both things, both choices are good. So you present yourself as the humble servant, and Krishna will gradually give you intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Krishna seated within your heart will give you customized instructions how to please him. He's giving the general instructions in Bhagavad Gita, but he also says, I'll give you custom. If tesham sata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. If you're always engaged in my service with affection, with priti, that's no ordinary thing. So all this is waiting for you. Utsaha, nishtaya, daryat, enthusiasm, patience, determination. Maintain that desire. I always want to do what's best for Krishna's pleasure. And certainly, mystically, mysteriously, in ways that you often don't understand, Krishna's will manifests through you. You may not be able to see it, but looking back, you start to piece together what's going on. Anything else? Yes?
Hare Krishna, Swami. Very complimentary.
It's been 1 year. Barricaded in Kiwi Loka.
During the course of your lecture, you told we are carrying the burden from previous lives. I had a discussion with one of my colleagues. He's an eye specialist. And I told him that a child, 5-year-old child, having a rhabdomyosarcoma, abdominal tumor. And how did he get it? He's only 5-year-old. He has not done any vicious activities or anything, as far as we know. So what is the cause? He says, I don't believe in past life. That's the end of it.
What about his baby body? What about his teenage body? He doesn't believe in that?
He doesn't believe. He says...
But he was a baby. He was a teenager.
He says, I'm the eye specialist. I don't believe in past life at all. So how do you preach? This is my question.
Hey, you bring him some prasad. He hates it.
Oh my God.
Can you find another doctor?
Huh? I'm changing.
Yes, yes. Change doctors. He's being demoniac, unfortunately.
You get the answer.
Thank you for the class. The question is about peer pressure. You spoke about that. And there's a peer pressure in material world, but then there's a peer pressure in spiritual circle as well.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, what is asking you to not to do services, but to actually surrender more.
How?
by taking on more responsibilities?
Can you?
Not at the moment.
Well, then you say, you know, I've analyzed my life, I would like to do more service, but right now it seems not possible. Then you have to take responsibility for your choice.
Yeah. Another question is about the...
You come before the deity and say, I would like to do more, but right now, you know, household life has to go on. There's this, there's that, the other. I mean, Prabhupada himself said that he was always thinking about executing the order of his spiritual master, but the circumstances were such that he didn't do it until he retired from family life. But he said, I was always thinking how to do it. And then, of course, you have to understand his humility, because those God brothers who knew Srila Prabhupada during his household times, they said he was always supporting the preaching. He was always related to the mandir. He was always doing something. But Prabhupada presents himself as, I waited until I was very old. So you have to take responsibility for your choices, for you and your family. You don't want to leave this world with regrets. Oh, why didn't I take that service opportunity? I really could have done it. I just was not considering Krishna's priorities as topmost. You don't want those kind of regrets. Any questions this side? Yes, both of you have questions. Huh? Who is oldest? Okay, you can go first.
Thank you for the very nice talk. So my question is that sometimes, we take Krishna consciousness first, and then we accept a guru. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was totally he first accepted a guru, and then came in Krishna consciousness. So then, what do we do? Do we take a guru first?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always Krishna conscious. But he didn't manifest that completely publicly until a certain time. As Nimai Pandit, you know Nimai Pandit? He would go through Navadvip, and anyone who would cross his path, he would engage in an argument about logic. Especially the devotees. The devotees would even try to hide. They would try to walk on the other side of the street because they didn't want to get into a battle of logic with Nimai Pandit, who was undefeatable. And they would all say, all the devotees would say, oh, if Nimai Pandit would just be a devotee, it would be so great. And Nimai Pandit would respond, oh, may one day your hopes become true. But he's always Krishna conscious. He's Krishna himself.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class.
How do you know it's wonderful? Anyway, thank you for saying that. How do we chant?
Better.
You have a quiet place in your home?
Not always.
No. Tell me, who's making the noise? Well, then you know what to do. You know the corrections to make. Having quality time for chanting Hare Krishna is so important. How old are you?
9.
So if you can, how much do you chant every day?
12.
Very good. If I was, I wish that when I was 9, I chanted 2 rounds every day. I didn't start chanting until I was 21. So I'm envious of you. And you know how I started chanting japa? 1 bead a day. But you're chanting 2 rounds and you're 9 years old. I'm so envious. So chant those two rounds very nicely, okay? And as you grow, your spiritual life will also grow. Oh, you have a question? Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. My question is that, can we force Krishna to make us surrender to him? Because we can't do it ourselves.
Then that's not surrender, if he forces you. Surrender is coming from your desire to please Krishna. It can't be forced. Suppose someone comes up to you with a gun and says, "You're such a nice little child. I want you to appreciate me." Why should I care for you? You're using this force. Do you think Krishna wants forced love? You don't want that. If your parents force you to do something, you don't like that, right? You must do this. Do you like that? You don't want to be forced, so why should Krishna have forced love? You want voluntary. You like your parents when they say, "Dear daughter, if you please do this, it'll be very nice. We really ask that you do this." Then what will you say? Ah, Krishna's asking, please surrender. And Lord Chaitanya is making it even easier to surrender to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is saying, here is Krishna, take him. He's giving away Krishna even to persons who don't know Krishna. He's giving the taste of Krishna. So you don't want forced love. You don't want someone holding a gun to you saying, "Please show affection to me." You don't want your parents, your own parents, you don't want them forcing you. What are some of the ways they say, "You must do this"? What do they say?
You must do this.
Like what? Wash the dishes? Or you have a dishwashing machine? They say you have to do studies.
To
oh, okay. And you don't like that? What would you rather do? Huh? See? Similarly, as conditioned souls, we're really not sure what we want to do. But when Krishna says, "Surrender to me," we get angry. So just like you're bewildered about what to do, so similarly, conditioned life means to be bewildered. Yet, we don't like to be told what to do. But Lord Chaitanya says, have no fear, just take the taste of loving Krishna, even though you don't know who Krishna is. Therefore, no one is more charitable, no one is more magnanimous than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right?
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for the nice class. You were mentioning...
You're saying it also. They must pay you to say that. Occasionally you say thank you for the nice class.
You were mentioning how we had so much baggage from previous lifetimes, and then even now modern society is amplifying that. So when we go out for preaching, sometimes it feels like it would be easier just to practice Krishna consciousness peacefully somewhere. Then when we go out and preach, we get it's very bewildering sometimes.
You're going out to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore you're entitled to ask for his protection. It's his order that you go out. You're not going out for your own reasons. I just like to go out there and meet the people and hear what they have to say. I'm just going out there to see how the girls are dressed. That's not the reason. You're going out on the order. Ama agya guru hoye taraydesh. So you have a right to ask for the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's a fact. Practically speaking, anyone doing outreach has to know how to wash off, hose down,
You know, hose down means that in this expression. It's a fact. There's contamination out there. You have to be practical. But Lord Chaitanya has given you the way to wash off. Just like in normal times, non-COVID times, we regularly go to the Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham. That was Prabhupada's idea. He said, preaching in the West is very contaminating. The devotees, book distributors, outreach devotees should regularly go to the Dham in order to wash off all the stuff that is accumulated, even unconsciously. So be practical. You're entitled to Lord Chaitanya's protection because you're doing the service on his order. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.